Now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by our first guest of the afternoon. And I was just asking, his name is Pete Wilkinson. I was just asking Pete what the name of your business is. Now, I like this when somebody's business is called after themselves. I think that's a good sign, Pete. Wilkinson.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to hide behind a brand, and I am the specialist, I'm the expert, so it makes it very easy if you just name it after yourself.
I agree, totally. So if we're going to sort of put it into a nutshell then, Pete, what is the business all about?
The business is primarily to coach and support professional people to get better levels of success, what I would call super success, as opposed to an average performance.
That's not a very easy task to take on, is it?
Well, it is, because despite working with lots of different businesses from lots of different backgrounds, and I'm quite conscious I don't want to deal with two businesses of the same industry, so I'm not getting any negative crossover, they all have the same issues. So we all have to have structure, we all have to have goals, objectives, targets, we have to have a vision. So it's very, very similar. So there is a, although it's not one job fits all, there is a process we can apply to enhance their performance.
It's a bit like life generally, isn't it?
Everything, yeah. I mean, what's great is that a lot of business people either specialize on their business and they put a lot of emphasis on that, and their personal life might suffer in terms of health and fitness or relationships, or somebody may be too much on that side and not have the focus and motivation and desire for their business. So I work on a holistic view, if you like, but it's primarily the business I want to see fly. I love seeing people achieve fantastic things.
So, I've got loads of questions, actually,
yeah,
just
great
listening to you. But I mean, if we went back then to Pete Wilkinson before this phase, what's kind of brought you to this point then, Pete?
Well, I started work very, very early. Saturday jobs, this sort of thing. I always had a very, very good work ethic. My sort of first professional job was Northern Electric, which a lot of people probably have heard of. It was the big retail and PLC based at Newcastle. I worked for them for quite a while, managing various stores and superstores, and then managing all of their stores. Then I ran my own retail business for 6 years. So I had a, you know, small to medium-sized retail business, employing people, selling electrical goods. And then you just morph into find what you really want to do. And this coaching people, developing people, supporting people is what I really want to do.
And I'm right in assuming, I think you've also studied, you've got a few letters behind.
Yeah, yes.
The old Pete Wilkinson title.
I did it the wrong way around. I do tell my children that they should be better to do it straight from school. I went into work immediately, and it wasn't until I was at a certain position where I realised to go to the next level I would need some form of qualification. So I did an MBA at Newcastle Business School, which is Northumbria University. It takes 5 years part-time. At the time I was sort of managing 13 out-of-town superstores, married with 2 kids under 5, and then doing an MBA part-time. So it was tough. It's not the easiest way of doing it, but I think it's important to have it.
You sound like you enjoyed it.
I did. The dissertation at the end was a real test of my tenacious attitude. Writing 30-odd thousand words on a part-time basis is quite demanding.
So are you Geordie or Northumbrian?
I am actually from Sunderland, so I would be what's termed as a Mackham.
That's fine.
But I have an office in Sunderland and I have an office in Newcastle, so I can bat for both sides.
Great. Well, I would ask you a tweet question like, what is success? But that's just nonsense, really, because success, I would say, is tuned into whatever somebody's own personal goals are.
Totally private. It's a personal thing. Some people may, if we look at health success, some people might want to run the marathon that you mentioned. Some people might want to just run 3 miles to round the block, you know. So it's about asking the individual, what do they want to get out of their life? What do they want to design their life like? Building their belief systems to realize they can have 100% responsibility to decide what they want, and then supporting them to achieve that. And just as they get to the bar, then I raise it a bit more. And it's a sort of a challenge environment for the person to get as much out of their life as they possibly can. That's the way I live, and that's the way I support my clients to live.
So then, Pete, how important are those ghouls and the setting, the framing of those ghouls? Or is it about the definition of them? I mean, a lot of people, I guess, don't exactly know what they want to achieve.
Yeah, well, that's one of the biggest things. One sort of analogy that works for me when I'm speaking with clients is I use the airport analogy. So when you're married and you've got 3 or 4 kids and you're terminating Newcastle Airport, got your cases, got your passport, you're ready for your holidays, you look at the board, how often do you look at the board and say, right, darling, do we want to go to that flight to Spain in an hour? Or if we wait till 2 o'clock, we can maybe go to France. Or if we can hang on till 6, we can get a flight to Italy. You would never really do that. I don't think people would. So what you would know before you get to the airport, you would normally know where you're going to fly from, where you're going to fly to, what's the hotel, what it has, what facilities. If you like to go for walks along a beach, you wouldn't book a hotel 20 miles inland. So with something like a holiday, you would give a bit of thought beforehand to get pretty clear, and you would discuss it and maybe adapt it to find out what you really want from that holiday. And you would do that before you got to the airport. You wouldn't do it, because if you've got dollars and you're going to go to Spain, you need euros. So goal setting really is, if you don't know where you want to be, if you don't know what it's going to look like, then how are you going to get there? So goal setting for me is very, very important.
Do you do fog lifting?
Yes, clarity is...
James, you're tucked away. I just feel now and then like, oh, I could do with somebody just to help lift that fog, you know?
Yeah,
where was I going again?
Yeah. Well, clarity, when you're looking at a business, quite often the individual that runs a business, either the managing director, one of the directors, the owner, they might not know exactly what they want from their business, and they may lose track of that from time to time. So clarity of focus is something that I do. We ask some really good, open, clean questions. We find out what they really, really want, get real clarity, and then we design what I call a success pathway to get them there as quickly as possible and as efficient.
And you're listening to Lionheart Radio. We're talking to Pete Wilkinson just a little bit about... kind of his background coming into setting up his own business, which is a sort of like motivational life coaching, but careers coaching type of business. And I was hinting a little bit about Pete's athletic background. What's your sport, Pete?
Triathlon.
Three sports, then.
Yeah, good stuff.
How long have you been doing that for?
The first one was...
I mean, you don't just walk into that, well, I'll be a triathlete.
School days to do a bit of swimming and a bit of running and a bit of cycling and stuff. And then my first sort of race, if you like, was 2001. And it just sort of developed from there. So I've been doing consistent races for the last sort of 4 or 5 years, five or six years possibly, in the Northeast primarily, but I've also raced in other parts of the country. And there's a big, real hotbed of triathletes in the Northeast, especially. There's loads of clubs. There's absolutely loads of tri clubs. And it's fantastic. You know, in Annick, there's a race. I've done it twice.
Have you done the Durridge Bay?
Haven't done that one. I've done Annick twice. I've done the Ashington one. I've done them in the Lake District. Did Ironman UK, the long distance one, which was pretty tough. But yeah, so there's loads of races about. Excellent.
But I guess you have to set a lot of goals. Or you can,
it's similar.
Which will always challenge you, always push you on.
Yeah, and it's very important to record your performance. So you may have a race that's an Ironman, for example, takes a great deal of commitment. The peak weeks, an Ironman. So that's a long distance try.
Right.
That's a 2.5 mile lake or sea swim, 112 mile bike, finished off by the full marathon run at the end. So that's a sort of anywhere between 11 and 13, 15 hours, so it's a tough race, but you have to
You're
set goals.
Joking.
you have to set goals for that, and you would have training targets. You would break your time down to train efficiently, so you would spend so much time on the bike, so much time in the water, so much time running, and you would record your performance and your average heart rate, so you know if you're getting fitter and what's working for you, and adapt the program as it goes. Yeah, so there is similarities between that and running a business.
And I guess some of that, again, is what links into... Well, let's cut the chase here. The 7 critical steps. You're allowed to tell us some of the paths there, of the steps.
Yeah, well, this is the 7 critical steps to super success is a success seminar that we are doing, myself and another coach, Jeff Nicholson, in Newcastle in April. So we're doing it in April, and it's at the Quayside in Newcastle. And it's the 28th, and... What our idea was that we've all been to seminars and things of this nature, and they tend to normally take place in London. And a one-day seminar in London involves invariably a £70 rail journey. It might have an overnight stay, or it's a very long day. So we thought we'd do one in the Northeast. So it's the seven critical steps, and the first step is take 100% responsibility, which is some of the things that we do mention this when we're coaching clients, because until you accept responsibility for your own actions, then we can't really go any further. So yeah, I'm really looking forward. It's the first one. We're hoping to do a series, and it should be really good fun, and I think it's a great way for people to get a good start to have a fantastic 2010.
You've got a specific target audience for this, though, haven't you?
Yes, it's going to be, ideally it would be small business owners, professional people, managers, people like that, that are going to have some challenges this year that they're going to be important to produce better results for their time, look at their efficiency. They will be setting goals and targets. They will have an impact on a section or a business. So that's the individual it's geared towards. But the principles can be applied to anything. It's about success. And again, as we already said, Carl, it depends on what the person wants success on. Primarily, it is geared towards success in business.
So how can people get involved, Peter? If they, you know, somebody thinks, oh, I like the sound of this.
Yeah, well, we've got
people think, I like to get in touch.
Yeah, we've got all the links. I mean, if people want to email me at hello@petewilkinson.com, register an interest, I can send the link to our one-page website that we're getting pulled up there, and then they can request information. The tickets, it's only £97 investment cost for the full day. That's the full-day seminar with a lovely lunch, networking at the end, a professional workbook, so, you know, really good, excellent value for money. And it's about getting the Northeast, where all these business people are, to realize we don't have to travel down to London and Manchester and the like.
Well, it's obvious that you're passionate about businesses here in the Northeast, and that's great. And we hear, you know, the talk being talked at the political level. And we've got a great big event happening in 2012, that little event that's known as the Olympics. I know you've got some feelings about that and about Northeast businesses getting involved with that, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, if you go to the London 2012 website, it's a very, very good website, loads of different sub-sites from that. And one of them that I do feel a business in the Northeast should look at is the Compete For website. And this is where you can go on, you can look at what sort of works are planned, and if you've got about 5-10 minutes, I've done it myself, you fill in a full company profile, and you kind of tell them the site, the sort of things you're looking for, that you may be interested in, projects you could help with. And what you do then is the site will match works to your specialist area, and then you'll get an email or a brief that'll say, do you want to tender for this work? Because there's lots of companies that can benefit from that. Trading companies, we need lots of electricians, plumbers, builders. There's trading companies, there's tourism for the Northeast, Sri Lankan teams training at Durham University. The Aquatic Centre of Sutton's going to get utilised, so it's not just for London, it the whole country can benefit.
So the message is get in touch.
Log on.
Put your details in.
Yeah, and get on the Compete For website for business, and you will get notifications on works that could benefit you and you could contribute towards and tender for.
So if I was to come to you, Pete, and say, hey, Pete, I play music. I've got quite a busy working life. I've got a business in music, which I do, actually. But it's in a bit of a, you know... What am I doing?
Where do I start?
Does that sound familiar from a business point of view?
Yeah, it does, yeah. I mean, what we would probably start with is discovering what your major wow was. You know, what do you really want from your life? And you've got to dig a bit deeper and scratch the surface to find that. Somebody might say, more money. So you say, right, here's a quid. You've got more money, are you happy now? Do you know, and to simplify, so you have to really dig a bit deeper to find out what they want. There's different models we do. I use an I Can Do model. Which is something I use when I did my coaching diploma, and that is I Can Do is investigate sort of the situation.
I hope everyone's taking notes at all.
Yes.
This is for free, this.
Yes, perhaps. So the first letter is I, which is investigate why what you want to do is important. C is for current situation, so that's what you like with that particular objective now. The N is the number of ways in which we could achieve a set objective for anybody. The D is a date, which is very, very important. So you've got a date of when you will achieve it. You don't leave it open, because normally you would procrastinate and just put off and put off. And O, the end of it, is for the outcome. So if you do this particular thing by this date, what outcome will you achieve? And once we do the I Can Do model, we have a framework which we can support the individual to achieve their outcomes with a date and when it's going to be done by. So there's a deadline. Very, very important.
I see the sense of that, especially the date, because the word procrastination is important, because it's always, well, I couldn't, and I've been a bit like that. I've got to own up with my second album, so, you know, I'm sort of like delaying, but I'm trying to get it out now, and I've got a time frame there, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's really important.
Yeah, I like to use this grin analogy as well, which is a really good one, because quite often we'll have an objective, or we'll have something we're trying to drive towards, and we may get stuck. So the grin is just the goal, you've got it, which is the G. The R is for like a reality check, is right, you know, where am I now? Then the I is for just initiate the next step. So sort of like identify what could you do, and next step, and you just take it. So sometimes you may be like a little stick that's stuck at the side of the stream, or you need a little nudge, and then you're back on the track. And it's recognizing that can happen, not like packing it all together and saying I haven't achieved, but just looking at a different way of achieving where you're wanting to go to. So I use that grin model quite a bit as well.
Well, I think I know what the goal is. I just want to make a nice big splash with one or two tracks, but not necessarily as a performer, but maybe as a writer. So I've got the couple of routes there that I'm quite happy to go along.
Yeah.
But at the basis of that really is my own product, I suppose, writing songs.
Yeah.
You know, which is what I do. And I love doing that.
Right.
You know, and
so it's a passion.
Yeah, absolutely. Do that all the time. I mean, there's, you know, you probably come across artists, craftspeople, you know, people doing picture framing, whatever, as businesses who maybe think, well, I love it, but how do I make money?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what
they've got the passion, but you have to have the product and be able to market.
There's extra skills. Yeah, a lot of the smaller businesses that I deal with or have dealt with in the past may be technicians in their own right. So you have, for example, a guy who's a plumber, who's a really good plumber, loves to plumb, and then decides to have a plumbing business. But the skills in running a business are very different to just being the plumber. And there's a guy called Michael Gerber. He has a book out called The E-Myth, which is excellent for any small business. That book, he talks about moving from infancy to adolescence, and adolescence to maturity. And once you take your business through that route and put structure in place and process, then it can grow sort of successfully and it can be sustained. And that's what I do work with businesses on, is realizing the technical skills are quite different to the business skills. Mm-hmm. And that's what we find for a lot of small businesses. They want to do everything themselves and stay within that infancy stage, which is not very profitable for long.
The vision then is quite important.
Critical.
Because we can look to here, or out here. I'm using my hands to show a big vision, wide field of vision there.
Yeah.
Or we can be quite blinkered.
Yeah. Well, I think
we get lost, of course, because we have, you know, bills to pay. Lost. And like you were saying,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, things happen, yeah.
There's this, there's that, the other.
Yeah, there is distractions, and quite often you may find an obstacle, and it's not being negative saying they're going to happen, but obstacles do appear. The important thing is to find a way around that obstacle, and you may have to do a different route. It may be a longer route, but the important thing is your feet are still keep moving. You're still taking steps towards your goal. But yeah, vision is very, very important. It's one of the first things you should do when you start your business. Decide what your vision is for your business and your life, a mission on how you're going to get there, and the values to support those, and make sure all three things, your vision, your mission, and your values are aligned. Once you've done that, then you can take the steps forward to make it happen. But you've got to know where you're going first.
I think I do.
Good. That's good. Right, well.
We've got a single coming out, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Good.
And actually, it's very exciting. I can't wait to release it. So it's got a celeb involved, and I think it's going to be...
excellent.
It's going to get some interest. So, you know, but of course, I've set that as a goal.
Yeah.
A way back, you know. So I totally see the sense in what you're saying, Pete. Define those goals and don't be
break it down into little steps, manageable steps, so you're moving in the right direction and you're not taking on a huge chunk. You've heard all the, how do you eat a big, huge pineapple? You cut it into chunks. It's the same thing, but it's the same with an issue. Break it down. You've got an obstacle or got an objective and do it on manageable chunks. But make sure you are always moving forward with your objective.
In front of Pete, listeners, he's got a range of papers. But what I particularly like is this: he's got a heart drawn, a massive heart drawn out with... there's a cycle on there, isn't there? With win. I love it.
It's called Goals of the Heart.
It's
called.
But it's got like sort of a cutlery next to it.
Yes. Yeah.
What's going on there?
Yeah. Well, the Goals of the Heart is where you have a lovely heart shape, and then you look at health, wealth, family, relationships, contributions, spiritual, all the different areas of your life, play, career, and then you would put a in colour, ideally, because your life is in colour. A lot of people do black and white, but I prefer colour. And then if you've got, like, family, you would draw a little picture of what your family, your ideal family, is going to be. Or if it's health, what health means. So I've got the word lift crossed out because I don't want to use lifts. I want to use stairs wherever I can. If I've got on relationships, it's a bike for training with my friends on the bike, and then a plate with a knife and fork. Is I love eating food. I like having meals with friends as well. So it's just a way that I have something physical that I can look at, that I can relate to in achieving my goals and design the life that I particularly want. And that is my life.
And it keeps you clear.
Yeah, I mean, you can change it. You know, you can change anything you want. But yeah, I mean, it's with it being a picture. I'm a very visual person as opposed to auditory or kinesthetic, you know, so I like to see visual pictures, and that just, for me, reminds me of what I want to achieve. So under play, I've got a picture of a tree because I love climbing trees with my daughter, for example. So that's it.
I love it, Pete. I reckon we could natter on all through the afternoon, can we? Yeah, so tell us about... do you love live radio? about your 2010 goals.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, what I was going to say was that a lot of my clients, I'll encourage them to set some goals.
Don't start us laughing.
Starting some goals. So I've chosen 25 goals. And what I would like...
25?
25 this year. Dead easy. You've got to aim high.
All right.
What I would like everyone to do is just sit down and spend a few minutes... write down, give a thought to what they would like to achieve this year. And one of the important steps is to get it written down, make a bit of a commitment. Five, you want to start with 5 or 10 or 3 or 2. Just write something down, be specific. So instead of saying, oh, I think I want to lose some weight by my holidays, think, right, I would love to weigh 74 kilograms by August the 1st before I fly to Spain, for example. So be specific. And then every day,
with a
review.
Date.
With a date, when you're going to achieve it, review it every day. I've got a successful habit where I will every day read my goals and just update the progress. So it's about keeping track on having a fantastic life.
I love it. I've got that goal already, you see, for the single, and I've got a time frame. So Ali, get it finished. Get it mixed. If you're listening. I've got a time. It's August. We've got to go for it. It's got to be out then. Got to get the publicity out 2 months before. But there's other goals as well. And
yeah,
I think what I take on board really from that is the importance of the definition, breaking down into steps, taking the responsibility, but also...
action.
Yeah,
taking action.
Action. And with a date.
Yeah, very important. Critical.
Pete, it's been an absolute pleasure.